reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. The father will be divided against his son, and the son against his father, a mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." The Gospel of the Lord Jesus. A somewhat unusual selection from the Gospel of Luke, in the sense that we tend to associate Jesus, and particularly his words, with reconciliation, with harmony, with bringing together that which is broken or apart. And yet, here we have Jesus talking about how he will be the cause of great divisions. And so you want to say, what exactly was Luke getting at this particular point by including this in his gospel account? Well, we know that this whole section of Luke's gospel is very much devoted to the formation of the disciples. They're on the way, they're going very intently toward Jerusalem, and in the process of going to Jerusalem, journeying with Jesus, he uses it as an occasion for formation of the disciples. So, when we look at it in that context, how it's placed within the scripture, we begin to see the connection of why, in the wisdom of the church putting these liturgies together, they would have used the reading from Jeremiah as the first reading for this particular collection of readings for this Sunday. The story of Jeremiah is one of the stories of one of the great prophets, probably. Look at the three great prophets of the Jewish scripture, you would have Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. But Jeremiah is the most controversial of the three, in the sense that Jeremiah was the one who spoke the word of God to people who had basically turned their backs on God. They were involved in conflicts. They were involved in conflicts in which they thought their own strength would sustain them, and they were unwilling to place their trust in the Lord. Jeremiah speaks to them about trust in God, and he tells them that they're not going to solve their own problems. But basically, they're going to have to rely on God, the one who will save them. And that if they should do that, if they should, in a sense, submit themselves to the ways of God, then they will succeed. Well, needless to say, the powers that be did not find this very encouraging. As a matter of fact, they, as the scripture says, they went to the king and basically said, "You need to get rid of Jeremiah, because he is discouraging the people." And so the king, out of frustration, says to them, "Well, do what you think is necessary." And they take Jeremiah and put him in the cistern with the idea that he will die there, and they'll be silencing the voice. But the king has a moment of compassion, and sends those to rescue him. And Jeremiah then comes back, and the story goes on of the controversy that he initiates by the word of God. I think when Jesus uses this particular moment of teaching discipleship, one of the things that he's talking about is, I've come to set the earth on fire. But fire is not what we think of today in the context of the scripture. We think of fire as that which is destructive. We think last summer, those terrible fires that took place out in the West, where you think about the fires that are presently going on in Greece and in Portugal and other parts of the world. They're destructive. They do have sometimes a benefit in the sense that they allow new beginnings, new growth to come in, but for the most part, we see them, they're destructive. Well, the fire that Jesus is talking about in the context of the scripture can best be captured in the story of Pentecost. If you remember the story of Pentecost, the disciples are gathered in the upper room. It's somewhat after the event of the Lord's resurrection. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them as tongues of fire. Fire, always in the scripture, has a relationship to the presence of God. Remember Moses, the fiery bush. Remember the people fleeing Egypt. It was the pillar of fire that protected them from the Egyptians. It was the pillar of fire that led them. It was the pillar of fire that represented for them the presence of God in the tabernacle, in the tent of Holy of Holies. And so when Jesus is speaking about this, he's basically saying his prayer is that the earth, the people of the earth, the disciples, will come alive with the Holy Spirit. They will be imbued with the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God, the ways of God. And that in that moment, like Jeremiah, if they are faithful to the fire, if they're faithful to God and God's presence with them, then they will be involved in conflict. There will be a division. And the division will come from the fact that they will be speaking and acting in the ways of God in the midst of a world that has turned its face away from God. And so there will be conflict, because the ways of the world will try to silence the wisdom of God, will try to put out the fire of God that enlivens them. I think Jesus, as they say, is part of this process of forming them as disciples, was very aware that things were not going to be wonderful for the disciples. And he didn't want to give them any illusions that somehow people would be laying flowers at their feet as they would go forward. Because they would go forward in that prophetic spirit. And going forward in that prophetic spirit, they would find themselves involved in controversy. They would find themselves divided, in the sense of experiencing that separation. Perhaps a separation from their culture. Certainly a separation from their tradition. Certainly a separation that would occur among their family and their friends, the world in which they live. The reality is that that hasn't changed. The reality is that it hasn't changed. You only have to look at the lives of the martyrs. St. Paul makes reference to that in the second reading. The lives of the martyrs. Even modern day martyrs, who in effect, because they were filled with the fire of God, found themselves in conflict with the world in which they were living, in conflict with the societies and the structures, the organizations, the cultures. I think of the good sister who worked in the Amazon for years, ministering to the people in those remote areas, and how her presence was a source of controversy. Controversy with those who sought the power of the land. And how one day, on her journey from one village to another, she came across these people. And they decided that the solution was to kill her in order that her voice could be silenced and fear could be, in a sense, imposed in the lives of the people that she was ministering to. It's a good example. It's a good example of the cost of discipleship, the cost of being alive with the fire of God in the midst of a world that chooses to live with its face turned away from God. For each of us, we must, in a sense, see where the fire of God is directing us. And we must trust in God, that God will give us the strength then to be faithful to that fire, even when it puts us in opposition perhaps to the gatherings of Him, when we speak the fire of God to the political systems we live with, to so many, many different parts of our lives. Because the fire of God is what allows us to be who we are called to be in baptism. You're anointed priest, prophet, and king. You're anointed to be another Christ.